Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Ron Swallow.
Hello.
The epically notorious Liquid Zoo open mic host.
Yes, the Liquid Zoo.
How long have you been running the Liquid Zoo on Wednesday nights?
It's got to be 3 years now, maybe more.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a rough room.
Yeah.
It's a, I'd say the first maybe 10 people who get up, you know, people watch them. But then after that, it's kind of like, you know.
It's death after that, pretty much. About 10:30. I mean, lately it's been going in waves.
What do you mean?
It'll, like, start like you said, and then it'll have, like, half an hour of just doom and depression. And then more people will show up.
Right.
And then they'll sit and watch for a little bit. And then that'll be good for, like, half an hour, 45 minutes. And then it'll die again. And
it'll
go up and down. All till 1:30 or 1:45 in the morning.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
How many people are usually doing it every night? Like 35 or something?
It was 30, 35. And lately, because we got voted best dive bar open mic by the LAS.com, it's been like 40, 42. Mm-hmm. Having to cut people's time. Because one of the big things is I give 7 minutes in an open mic. That's like epic.
Yeah. Most of the time it's 3 to 5, something like that. 7 minutes, you get to stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, you can actually work out a joke.
Yeah. So you were just saying that you came from school. Where are you going to school?
Yeah, I just started college as a 36-year-old man.
Mm-hmm. Getting your undergrad?
No, this is the first time I'm going to college.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yes, I'm going. Oh, I am my undergrad, yes.
Getting your undergrad degree?
That's what I meant. Yeah, I'm going to take computer programming. I turned 36 in November, and I realized that I don't like being poor.
You're like, what can I do to change that?
Yeah, while being decently intelligent.
Computer programmers have money.
Yeah, and I'm decent with computers, so.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, and I can still do comedy if I learn to program. I can actually do web pages.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that from home.
Right.
So that won't interfere with the comedy. And I also realized I was going the wrong way with comedy, too. Because, you know, I do road gigs, but they're like greasy-ass one-nighters in Oregon and stuff like that. Which everybody starts at, but, like, you can't keep doing that. Like, because that, it doesn't go anywhere. You don't want to make $200 to $300 a night, but you got to drive to Oregon. And you got to make sure you're in Oregon for, you know, a week. Well, Oregon, Montana, Idaho, Seattle, and hit all these different places over and over again. And eventually, you're like, there's times that I've come back supposed to make $1,000, but I got like 2 flat tires and a ticket or something like that,
right.
And I break even.
Right.
So it's like, it's just, you know, I wanted to learn marketing. That's another thing I'm taking in school. Because I spent 13 years getting good at comedy, and now I was like, well, what do I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Got to market yourself.
Yeah.
Got to, you know, plug yourself into the computer as a program, and then advertise that, and just make yourself a virus that goes all over the internet.
That's a good idea, man. I will create the world's first Ron Swallow virus. A virus that just shows my clip.
Just get a tight 20.
It's, yeah, just and a then tight 20 minute clip.
Just, as soon as people boot up their computer, boom.
And they have to watch it.
Yeah.
And if I make them laugh that way after I've ruined their computer, then you know I'm good.
Even if you like, and also it like, you can't turn down the volume or anything like that. Like it.
Yeah, I gotta hijack it completely.
So, I've been reading a lot on Facebook. I've been Facebook stalking you in preparation for this interview.
All right.
You recently sold your comic book collection.
Or I tried.
You tried to.
And it failed miserably.
So you didn't sell any comics.
I sold about 45 comics.
Okay.
So, you know, we have about $50.
Have you ever seen Rape Man?
Rape Man? No.
There's actually a comic in Japan called Rape Man.
I mean, I'm not surprised it's from Japan.
There's different rules in it over there.
Yeah, apparently in Japan they also have, whatchamacallit, a, dirty panties and vending machines.
Oh, yeah. I think the yen is based on the dirty panties. They have them shrink wrapped.
Like, they don't use gold as a standard. Yeah. They use dirty panties.
Yeah, they're shrink wrapped into kilos and put in the Bank of Japan, and that's what bases the currency on. So you sold the comic books to buy the car that you just got? You just got a car?
Strangely enough, that's what I was trying to do, but that's not how it turned out. Like, I was trying to sell the comics to get a car, and then it just didn't work out, and my friend was like, well, I'm moving, and I need to get rid of my car. So, why don't you just take it and then, like, send me money? And I was like, Okay, cool.
Oh, so yeah. You're on like a payment plan with
Yeah, for a 98 Dodge Avenger. It's called the Avenger, which, you know, for a nerd, that's pretty awesome.
So is this, you know, are you proud of this car?
No. Not so much. As we said before, I had to just add oil to it the second I turned it on.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good. College is giving me a bunch of money. Not a bunch of money, but I'm getting some money. What I'll do is hopefully it'll survive until I get the money, and then I'll do FAFSA and buy a new, a little bit better car. It'll still be a junker, but it'll be a better junker.
Yeah. So maybe a 99. Sometimes you have a mullet. Sometimes you don't.
If I wear a hat, I always have a mullet.
Right.
And it's pretty close right now, right?
It could be a little shorter on the top.
Yeah.
It's kind of party in the back, party on the top.
I cut it myself, that's why.
Okay.
So you never know how exactly it's going to turn out.
See, a lot
I do it myself.
And you have a lot of promo shots where it's just like, that's a proper mullet,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, this guy's doing comedy, and...
And has a mullet, and I think I'm smart. So clearly, I shouldn't have a mullet.
Where were you raised? Were you raised here?
New Mexico.
Okay.
Most of my life.
Is it more acceptable in New Mexico?
Oh, yeah. I remember when I went back there, a few years ago, I went back there, and the number one station was still playing Motley Crue.
Right.
The number one listened to station.
It's been untouched since 89,
yeah.
Musically.
Yeah, the songs are still there, but everybody's just still listening to Nah, man.
Comedy, a lot of times after a show, people come up to you like, hey, man, can I tell you a joke? A lot of comics don't like that. Personally, I don't mind it at all. If you guys want to tell me a joke, I still like laughing at it. That's great. I'll enjoy it. However, in Idaho, a guy comes up to me after the show and he's like, hey, man, can I tell you a joke? It's sort of racist. Nope, you can't tell me that joke. You also can't be sort of racist. Yeah. That's like being sort of pregnant. It doesn't fucking exist. Right? You're either a piece of shit or not a piece of shit. There's no fucking middle ground there, you know? And the weirdest thing about these guys is when they like you, they'll latch onto a word and then twist your sentences to make it mean whatever they want to hear. For instance, there's this joke about the phrase lazy Mexican, because I don't like the phrase. The joke is, I go, I don't like the phrase lazy Mexican because I don't know very many. I go, that's not true. If you change the word lazy to mean a guy that goes back-breaking lazy for $2 an hour or less than most people bitch about, just so his family will have a better life, then yes, I know some lazy Mexicans. Do that joke. Guy stands up right after the joke and goes, I know what you mean, man. I hate Mexicans too. Like, I don't know what conversation you fell were having, man. That was not it.
In your material, you talk a lot about avoiding being racist. You did this one thing where you like saw a black guy in the corner and then like you walked way
past him
to make sure that he knew, even though you had to go across the street. You're like, no, I'm gonna walk past him so he doesn't think.
Yeah,
that
well,
I...
and that's because so many people actually are racist,
right?
And it's like it's almost like a bigotry thing, because you see, like, if a white dude crosses the street when there's a black guy there, there's a percentage that guy's scared of a black guy.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And it's ridiculous. And I was just, the whole point of the joke is, like, I've just met a bunch of racist dudes in, like, places like Idaho. Like, when you go on the road, mm-hmm. you go to these places and they just assume you're as racist as them, so they
right.
start telling you all their secrets.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Here's what I believe! And you're like, whoa,
yeah.
We're not the same people.
Yeah, there's always, like, Armenian mechanics around here. Now, I know this is a racist against Armenian mechanics, but let me tell you something. you mentioned black people around an Armenian mechanic, and you're about to get an earful.
Yeah, you're about to hear the N-word repeatedly.
Yeah.
And the thing, and let me say this, in defense of some Armenians.
Some Armenians aren't racist.
Yeah, well,
they're
American Americanized versions of them. Like, if you meet the ones where their kids have been here for a generation,
right.
they're probably okay. But, like, when they come straight from Armenia, it's, for some reason, it's just, like, they treat women like shit. They say bro a lot still. I don't know why bro is the first word that Armenians learn. Like, bro.
Yeah.
I make you deal, bro.
Buddy.
Buddy's a good one, yeah.
But is walking around a block to pass a black guy when you have to go the other way, like, political correct OCD? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, I gotta step on the crest, can't step on the crest, I gotta walk by all the blacks, so they know.
Make eye contact. Yeah, give them a heads up. Give them a heads up.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, it is. It's totally obsessive. And I have found myself thinking like that before.
Right.
Like, and it's ridiculous. I shouldn't have to think like that. If I have to cross the street, I cross the street. And that guy shouldn't have to think that, well, that guy might be racist. Like, he shouldn't even have to think that, but it exists right now. I've been wondering, so I was working on a bit talking about how, like, America doesn't really have a culture. When somebody's like, especially as white people, will be like, oh, what's your background? And you're like, what do you mean? Like, oh, no, you're like, where are you
know. White people?
So it's German, Norwegian, Irish, you know what I mean? Like, people will always say that type of thing. When is it just going to be like, oh, we're American?
Right.
Like, is that ever going to happen? How long do we get to be till we can just say, oh, we're American?
Yeah. Because I'm like such a mix. I'm like a 16th American Indian, a 16th French Canadian, German, English, French. It's like, do I really want to give people a list of 70 places where white people come from?
Exactly.
Or can I just go, I'm fucking New Jersey, stupid?
Yeah, exactly. I just want, what's your cultural background? I don't know, asshole, white trash. I got white trash. There's a lot of white trash assholes. Drunk white trash asshole. That's my cultural
probably
background.
Probably incest somewhere.
It's gotta be. I mean, I have no chin, so generally that's a good indication of somewhere.
Somewhere in my lineage it was non-consensual, probably.
Exactly, yeah.
So, now, speaking of racism, I just want to go. Now, you claim that you're from New Mexico, and you were mugged several times by...
Twice.
By Mexicans.
Yeah.
Four
of them each time.
So two times.
And not really mugged as much as just jumped. Because one of the things they do is they'll do like a gang initiation. And in a gang initiation, like, part of your job is just go punch a person in the face for a little bit.
Right.
And then, like, get back in the car and run away.
So that was
one of
experience?
The times was that. I found out later on that a guy came and they were yelling at us and they were saying shit like, why you mad dogging me, fool? And like, I was like, I don't know you. I would never do that. And then the guy just punched me.
Mm.
And then I found out later, which is like completely insane.
Sir, I will make sure to walk past you. I will not cross
I'll make
the
eye
street.
Contact. I respect your race.
I respect your feelings that I am mad dogging you, sir. I will walk. Hello.
No, definitely no mad dogging. And then he just punched me in the face, broke my nose. And then the, you know, and then later on I found out some of my friends were like, oh yeah, that was a gang initiation. Like, some people from school, and they're like, well, we're not going to tell you who.
So then the one time you just got beat up, and then another time you got mugged?
Another time I got mugged, yeah.
Right.
Took my credit card, which had nothing on it, bank card, which had nothing on it, and, but...
Yeah, I know, you didn't
but my point, the
have
point
cash
of,
from all those comic books.
Yeah, no, not at all. The point of that joke is that it's bad math for racism. Racism is bad math. You know, eight people... You know, all together, eight Mexicans jump me, and there's, you know, 400,000 in Albuquerque. So that's...
Right.
You know, mathematically, that doesn't mean I can judge the other 300 and...
It's pretty good math if they have colored bandanas.
Yes.
And they're Mexican, and then it's like, okay, well, that's a gang.
Yeah, and I can stay away from that. That's right. Like, that's just common sense.
Right. Well, unless you don't want to, like, look like a racist by walking across the street when I...
Yeah.
Mexican
well, and,
a certain
and in New Mexico, if you're in the right spot, a Mexican wearing a bandana can actually just be riding a horse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he could be doing some desert farming type of shit, so...
Depends what, where the bandana comes from, what's its lineage.
Yeah. Does it have 18th Street on it?
What happened in your childhood? What went wrong? I asked all comics this. What went wrong when you decided that you needed so much attention that you needed to do comedy?
I've been doubly abandoned. When I was a kid, my dad and mom got divorced at 4, and then I didn't see my real mom until I was 23. And my dad and my stepmom told me that she was, like, on drugs and a crazy person. So, like, every time she called or sent me money or a present or whatever, it was like... It's like, well, here's a present from your druggy mom, which turns out to not actually be true. Like, my mom smoked pot.
Right.
Which, you know, when it comes down to it, like, you know, like I said, I told you I'm a straight edge, but I also, there's no way I'm judging someone for smoking pot because I'm not an idiot. It's like, mm-hmm. You know, if you smoke pot from time to time, it doesn't make you a criminal or a psychopath. You know what I mean? And so she just smoked pot. She's like a regular person. She's really nice. But I didn't find that out until I was 23, so I thought, like, my mom didn't want to be around me and all this other stuff.
So you think that she was culturally shunned by your dad, who
oh, yeah.
was like, you are on the marijuana!
Yeah, even though he also smoked marijuana, too. But he thinks she was doing other drugs as well, but she, if she was, it was like shrooms.
Right.
You know, which again, if you're going to do a drug, shrooms is a drug to do. It's not like, again, it's not one of those things that makes you stab a person generally.
She just wanted to see her spirit wolf.
Yeah, what's a big deal? And she does live in the Northern California mountains. They don't have electrical lines. They have a generator. Water comes from a creek. Super hippie. And then when I was 16, my dad wanted to move to Texas. And I was like, I don't want to go. And he was like, fine, stay here. And then left. Which apparently I found out adults are not supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So then what'd you do? So you were living in New Mexico alone?
Yeah,
you were 16?
I got a job at a movie theater. Got an apartment. Stayed in my apartment. Stayed with some friends for a little while first. And then once I saved up some money, I got an apartment.
Wow, so you were roughing it at an early age.
Yeah. I even got a fake ID. Well, not a fake ID. I got my school ID to make it look like I was 18 so that I could move into the apartment. I didn't have a driver's license. I don't think it would have mattered because this apartment was super sketchy. It was like $189 a month. And this is in 1993 or something like that. 92.
So when did you start doing comedy?
Strangely enough, right around that age. 16, 17. I went to, just before my dad moved, I actually started comedy. I might have been 15, actually. I did a church camp. I don't know if you've ever heard of The Secret. You ever heard of The Secret? That's the religion I was raised in. So
you were raised in the power of intention.
Yeah.
You think of what you want in your head, and then you do what you can to achieve that.
Yep. That's actually how you're supposed to think of it, by the way. Most people think that you're just supposed to picture it and sit around and...
See, I think... I have this bit that I'm working on, that the secret is, like, white people privilege, where it's like, no, I said, when I had that tantrum, when I wanted that thing in that mall, that was me wanting that thing! That's my religion. I get what I want. Yeah. I saw it in my head, and now I want it. I had slaves 200 years ago, and now I want that goddamn thing. I'm white. Why doesn't this work out for me?
Yeah, that's pretty much the secret. It's almost exactly what it is. But I went to church camp, and I was like a rollerblader.
You went
at the
to
time.
Church camp for The Secret?
Yeah. Well, it's actually on a religion. It's called the First Church of Religious Science / Science of Mind.
You always know when they say science twice in the title, it's got nothing to do with science.
Yeah. In theory, it had to do with science. The idea is the guy who put it together is a guy named Ernest Holmes. He decided that he wanted, he had theories on God, and he wanted his friends to test them out. So he sent them out and said, tell me what works. And then he tested them out himself as well. And then the stuff that worked, he kept, and the stuff that didn't work, he threw out. And then he wrote a book. And the book was actually supposed to be an add-on for religion. And what it ended up being was an actual religion. So basically, and you already said the basic idea is like they believe they're one with God, and then everybody's one with God, and everything is one with God. So that means you can create your own reality because you have a consciousness, and that consciousness connects to God, which then sends you the power of the universe through your thoughts and actions.
Now you've sold your comic books. You love comic books.
I do.
This past year, you scraped. You saved. You went to Comic-Con. Did you feel like you went back into your womb? Like, was it so comfortable for you at Comic-Con that you were, like, in your mom's womb again?
Dude, it's great to go to Comic-Con. I got to go for free because I performed there. I performed at GamerCon, and they gave me free tickets to go.
Oh, so, that's sick.
And I got to do GamerCon, which is, like, this huge building of just video games, tabletop games, and other nerdy game things.
Oh wow.
It's a ton of fun, although it's getting super corporate. Like I like How I Met Your Mother. It's a good show. It makes me laugh, and I guess technically the guys on the show are kind of nerdy, but like I don't know what they have to do with comic books or sci-fi or fantasy, and they were there, and it was great to see them, don't get me wrong, but as Psych was there, the show Psych, that's a good show.
So now it's just like they're turning it into like a film festival to promote Comic-Con adjacent programming.
Yeah, it's becoming more a pop con than a comic book convention. And there's still tons of artists and tons of, you know, that's one of the funnest things in Comic-Con is Artist Alley. That'd almost be like the semi-pro league for comics. You know, you'll see guys who aren't quite famous, but they're doing the improv a lot, or they're doing the Laugh Factory a lot, or, you know, they're doing major clubs and getting a little bit of money and doing small road gigs and shit. That's the same type of thing Artist Alley is. I mean, sometimes they have big artists there as well, but, like, it's like a place where you go and you meet all these new artists who are working on new comics, or their own independent comics, or they're decently big, but they're just signing autographs and drawing sketches.
Or one guy was just, like, all he did in a couple, like, Supermans was, like, you know, fill in the bulge a little bit. Like, that was his specialty. But he's got his
own... He's a bulge specialist,
He's got his own comic book, but it's not really, like, Bulge Man is not really taking off the way he thought
maybe,
it would.
Maybe,
you know, the way he, like, when he pitched it to his friends, he's like, I will double your profit. And, like, the profit was on a grid, but he's not quite hitting those numbers.
Yeah. And then they're like, but you can still make your own book.
Yeah, and then Marvel's like, yo, we got this new guy. He's got a huge package. We need some of your shading work.
You are the master of packages.
So, you know.
Come shade this dick.
He's circumcised, so there's a lot of crosshatch work you're going to have to do. I want to talk about a Liquid Zoo staple that I love, Richie the Sea.
Oh, Richie the Sea.
Now, Richie the Sea, for those of you who aren't in the know, kind of dresses like a serial killer.
Yeah, he wears shorts.
Big glasses, big flip rim glasses,
bald.
Yeah, and it's kind of like he kind of stumbled out of a mental institution. They gave him, like, his mesh shorts that he walked in with, and then he went on a killing spree. Because all of his jokes also are about...
Killing people.
Killing people, burying the body. I didn't let those girls live. That's a lot of the punchlines. I love Richie the Sea.
I do, too.
I think he cracks me up so bad.
And he makes me laugh, too. And the funny thing is, his jokes are actually technically well-written.
I'm a serial killer. I just play one on television. You know how America's Most Wanted? I hate that show, especially when they get my name right. I was also supposed to be on Dateline. It turns out they hate it when you show up a day early. What's even funnier is I have a roommate named Chris Hansen. I showed up a day early because he's, you know, I learned my lesson from the internet, you know, because these girls never look like their picture. You know what I mean? You think you're going to meet this really hot 14-year-old cheerleader? I'm just kidding. 16. She should be able to drive herself home. And you go to meet her, and she always ends up looking like a 50-year-old FBI agent. You know?
Like, it's a setup. It's a punchline. It's a segue. It's a setup. A punchline. It might have a few act outs. I mean, it's technically...
Mm-hmm.
A well-written joke, but he'll stutter through the whole thing because he can't speak very well because he probably actually kills people.
The drugs, and he's like having flashbacks of people going, "No,
no, don't stab me!"
As he's telling his joke. So, what's the craziest thing? You know, any nights stick out where you had to kick somebody out, or you know, it's a rough room at the Liquid Zoo.
Stripper chick showed her tits, and she kept being like, "I'm a." Actually, I think she said she was an insurance professional. Was an insurance professional? It might have been a lawyer. No, I'm pretty sure it was insurance professional. So I've gone to school for insurance. I am an insurance professional. Here are my titties. And then by the end of the night, we're trying to get her out. She won't leave. And she's yelling like, "Who's going to fuck me? Who's going to fuck me? I'll suck your dick. Who's going to fuck me?" It was insane. And we were like, "You need to leave." And she's like, "No, somebody's going to fuck me." And then nobody wants to fuck her. And then some dude in the corner is like, "Fuck it, I'll do it." And then she's like, "Okay." And then he like got her out and left. I have no idea if he went and fucked her. But he got her out of the place. So we were like, thank you.
You know, was she all right looking? Or?
I mean, she was in her, you know, maybe 45, 48. So, you know, and she had huge fake titties. So, I mean, if you're okay with fake titties,
if
the
she's
titties
just
were nice.
Like, if she's just saying it over and over, it's like, all right, you know, I'll give you
like,
a shove.
I have a girlfriend. I'm going to go have sex with hers. And she's not a psychotic stripper. So, you know, I'm good. Thank you. But the other dude was just like, fuck it, I'll do it. I was like, that's hilarious. He got that girl to put her tits on Richie the Sea's head. mm-hmm. and they were so big that it looked like mouse ears. So they took a picture, and it's got to be somewhere. I've got to get that picture at some point.
Are you sure that she lived? You know, you take a picture with Richie to see. That's usually the last photo you take on this planet. All right, let's do some news stories. Okay. Huh? This is
Sounds
some
good.
Hard-hitting news here. World's smallest pony stolen in Italy. So
what?
Now, September 13th, very recently, Italian police said someone stole a pony believed to be the smallest in the world. It's 24.8 inches tall, and he was, you know, going to the horse fair every year. But my favorite part is the owners are inconsolable.
End quotes.
In quotes.
Inconsolable.
That's all the information we have from the owners of this pony, inconsolable. Like, like a news person.
We're just crying.
A news person goes over there. So how do you feel about the pony? I can't hear.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
The pony! That was how the interview went. So what should we write? We don't really have a quote from there. Let's just put inconsolable.
We tried to help him, and he was like, no, don't help me.
This is a very weird news story here. So, Chinese hospital seeks virgin's blood.
What?
So, a Chinese hospital has requested blood from healthy female virgins for use in medical research, has been condemned as insulting women by state-run media. So, it's the Peking University Cancer Hospital said it needed the blood of 100 female virgins... age 18 to 24 for studies on human papillomavirus, HPV, which is usually transmitted through sexual contact. So what I feel like is that so the hospital's going, we need a control blood. We need blood that doesn't have HPV.
Yeah.
And then bloggers are like, wait a minute, why are you getting this? You just need hot young girl blood. From virgins, you guys are gross. And it's like they don't really know what science means.
Apparently, because that's you need a control.
Yeah, so you have one blogger who's like fed up because they're like.
And they probably don't like China because they know that China generally treats women pretty bad. I mean, they treat pretty much everybody bad.
Right.
But still.
They had that famous thing like during the Olympics, they had this beautiful woman, this beautiful young girl who would lip sync. An ugly girl's song, like the ugly girl had the most beautiful voice, and then the beautiful girl was the most beautiful girl. So they're like, no, let's just put these two together. And they're like, well, doesn't the ugly girl feel bad that she's not like presenting her own song? And they're like, no, she's ugly. See, it's like the best performance now because, you know what I mean? It's like they have this like, weird disconnect.
Yeah, like, yeah where emotional things come into play. But that's probably why they're good at science.
yeah, they just kind of go by the book. But it says it's in line with international practice to collect female virgins' blood samples, which serve as a negative control substance in HPV research, given that the risk of contracting HPV is low among women who have never had sex. But I kind of also love the scientists who started this. Like, you know what? We definitely need like a bunch of like 18 to 24-year-old girls to come in here.
And
like,
so all take stab care them with needles.
I'll take care of all the like
it's
paperwork.
Like Richie the Sea.
Yeah.
Actually, worked there.
I need
500 18 to 24-year-old hot Chinese virgins to come in.
And a plot of land somewhere in the woods.
We're going to have to prove they're virgins by me fucking them and seeing if they bleed afterwards.
We're going to have controls of before and after Richie the Sea gets in there. Kaboom. Former NSA CIA director says terrorists love Gmail. This is the... Okay, how much fucking double talk is the fucking NSA going to do? It used to be that, quote-unquote, you're a terrorist if you're trying to harm other people via and explain your radical ideas via blowing people up.
Yeah, that's pretty much what a terrorist is.
And now it's like if you use Gmail, if you have Milky Way bars, like they like expanded it so that Snowden fucking like you know, this guy who is in the NSA leaks information where he's like, "Oh wait, you're a bunch of corrupt vampires. I'm gonna expose.
You can make your argument for traitor if you want to, if someone got hurt.
Right.
However, terrorist? No.
The only ones who got hurt are the NSA fucking cowardly cockroaches who fucking snake into the night, always put Homeland Security as their excuse for raping and pillaging 18 to 24-year-old girls.
Virgin Chinese girls.
Like, you know, and they're the fucking terrorists, and then they just point at everyone else.
Who's creating more fear here?
Yeah. So, this is just drives me so fucking crazy. Okay, so there was a Navy Yard shooting in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
You know, very sad. Not all the details are in, but, you know, someone in the Navy went crazy and shot up a bunch of people on his fucking Navy Yard dock or whatever. Yeah. So a Russian official is trying to... He's been tweeting. He's on the social network, this Russian guy, and he's saying... it's a clear confirmation of America exceptionalism. He's being all sarcastic here. He's going, oh, America's so great.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, yeah, Russia never did anything fucked up, all right? Yeah. Like, why is this Russian bureaucrat, like, who's, like, in the last 10 years, like, fucking communists fell, and now it's just, like, run by the Russian mob over there. It's like, purely, yeah.
Yeah, things are going great here, look. We got, like, a line. We got bread. We got some bread. We got,
Yeah, if you wait in line for 2 hours, you can get bread.
Is it still that bad? I don't know if it's that bad.
Honestly. Who knows? But, I don't know. I think this
still
is a
ridiculous thing to say.
A bit of a gaffe. I mean, come on. Can you have a little respect for the people's families who are involved here?
It was Putin?
No, some,
Oh, Pushkov.
Yeah. Mr. Pushkov went on in English to say that American exceptionalism contradicts the principles of equal rights that smells of political racism. So he's saying that Americans are all highfalutin and they're all think that they're superior and everything. And then he's like, but I also think, like, what happens behind the scenes with Mr. Pushkov and, like, American officials? Because it seems like there's a lot of this anger coming up. Where Russian or a fucking Navy Yard shooting, and this Russian guy's getting all like aggro about it, and he's you know, kind of not really thinking about what the families would think in this situation. But it seems like there's like, I wonder how like bureaucrats like are the fucking, like, we know how crazy the NSA is and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, what. Does it,
like, how do they handle that situation?
Yeah, does this guy have to talk to a lot of NSA people who are just like, oh yeah, it's national security, homeland security, are you a terrorist? Like, that's how I imagine him, just stirring his coffee, like, you know, just like, oh, I'm gonna drone strike you, I mean terrorism, I mean, like, it's like, is this Russian official always dealing with those assholes, you know?
Probably, he's dealing with the shittiest of American people.
Yeah, he's dealing with these bureaucrats that are trying to cling to power.
Yeah.
With this Snowden thing, with all these things that come out that say the NSA is reading 100% of your email, which is obviously equivalent to, like, every time you would write a letter to your grandma and, like, put it in the fucking postal, you know, office.
I couldn't open that up.
Like, they would be, that's the equivalent of them opening it up, looking at your, like, eating one or two of your cookies that are from your grandma, and, like, like having crumbs go everywhere from your fucking, oh, coffee, terrorism, oh, national security, one of these bumbling motherfucking bureaucrats reading it.
Drinking off to my dirty text.
They're reading all Richard D'C's fucking, like, emails and stuff. He's just mailing, like, virgin toenails that he's of people he's murdered. But, it seems like the American people are kind of waking up to their government in a new way where it seems like, I don't even, like, how long can they keep lasting?
Well, like, the biggest problem is that, I mean, we're waking up, but at the same time, people still care about what Lindsay Lohan does.
Right.
And people still care about, you know, what Kim Kardashian does, or what happens on Breaking Bad, which is a great show, but people are obsessed with that thing, and right now, there's, like, the government's reading your shit. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's straight up, it's real close to 84 and Big Brother and all that crazy shit where people, I mean, they can do anything they want, too. I mean, if you read the Terrorism Act, what is it called again?
Oh, the Patriot Act?
The Patriot Act. If you read the Patriot Act, it is open to interpretation. Because it says the president can decide what a terrorist threat is.
Right.
Like, that's what it says. And no, in theory, you're thinking, well, he's not going to read my email to the girl you know, or read my text to a girl being like, I love your titties, and think that that's a terrorist threat. Obviously, you hope that sort of thing. But what if I put something where I'm like, state an opinion I don't like about the government or whatever, and he just decides that that's not okay?
Because
he has that right, technically, because of that act.
Because
he deems me a terrorist.
The NSA is a bunch of cockroaches where when you shine a flashlight on them in the right angle, they're like... But then now they have drones where they can fucking murder you.
Yeah,
and they're like, I want that fucking flashlight turned off now.
Yeah.
Kaboom, you know? Yeah. It's because... And I'm very nervous of workflows. And what I mean by that is... Banks kind of set up a workflow where they would, like, take all these bad assets, bundle them in derivatives, and then sell them to bulk, to whatever.
To make more money.
To make more money. And then you balloon this fucking $400 trillion fake derivative market.
Yeah.
That is like a fucking clot going through the arteries of our economy that when it reaches our heart, it's going to fucking kill everybody.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like the economy might... But there's like a workflow of that. So it's like if there's a workflow of... If you have too many keywords in your email that like someone is...
Oh,
like,
yeah, there's an algorithm. I guarantee there's an algorithm.
Where it's like rubber stamp terrorist, boom. And like that workflow, like it seems like it's like we're slowly getting there where the more we see what the government is, the more they're cramping down and it's...
When a guy's making $200,000 a year to program and do the stuff he loves to do... And when nerds get to do the stuff they love to do, man, and make good money doing it, they're happy.
Yeah.
So if it takes a lot for a guy to go, hey, I need to blow the whistle because there's some shit coming down. So, like, you know that that guy had to really come to a decision of this is wrong. I have to say something. And I mean, I don't know all the details well enough, and obviously they hid a lot of the details, so we can't know everything. But that sounds like, to me, the guy just found enough information that was like, this, we're doing bad things that's un-American-like, that's not about freedom. I have to say something. And then now he's going to, would he go to jail? He went to jail, right?
Like, can't you, like, judge a president by, like, how they treat whistleblowers? Aren't whistleblowers the most important?
It sure makes me nervous. And you know, and I voted for Obama, so, you know, it's a little disappointing that he wouldn't. And what you would like to see for a guy like Obama with the sort of more what appeared to be a moral background and the support of like poor people and the downtrodden that he came across as having, you'd like to see him stand up and say, you know what, no.
He was blowing the whistle
and we need to shut down the NSA. Like, sure, it came across that way. He did a good job coming across that way, and I'm not sure he's a real like really cares about that stuff. Because if he did, he would do something about it.
Do you think he's a real person, or do you think he's a PR guy for the fucking banks who own our country?
I don't know enough about that stuff to have a real opinion, but it's hard to believe that he has any power. Because you or to believe that any of the presidents have power at this point. Because you know, one of the things they do, and actually this is a great example too. Look at all the presidents and how they started off in office, and then by the end of their term, they look like zombies.
Right.
They get gray hair.
Yeah.
They get old fast. And look at the only person who didn't do that. George Bush Jr. Because he just let them do whatever the fuck they wanted to do.
Right, because he was already...
Because he was like, I don't care, I'm just in power, this is great.
I'm sure he was like fucking dining on mimosas of blood, you know, when he was 14. Like,
yeah.
He already was
he
savvy
was cool
to the fucking program.
He's like, do it. Have fun.
Yeah.
And just let them do whatever. And that was perfect for them. And I feel like some of these guys, like Bill Clinton and Obama, they all probably ran having an idea that it was that sort of truth. And then when they got in, were like, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Another guy was talking about, they're talking about iPhones. And they said, iPhones used to make this, cost this much to make. And now they cost this much because of, you know, different manufacturing companies and doing different things in a more intelligent way or whatever. And I was like, yeah, it's like 47 cents because they just make Chinese kids make them for free. And then the guy next to me goes, I can't wait to own a factory in China. And I was like, really? What? So you can exploit kids? Like, yeah, dude. And this is literally what he said was, that's got to get that low-cost labor because I got to get that cheddar. He said, I got to get that cheddar. And I was like, about, and you're exploiting kids. And this guy's going to go to sleep and not give a shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
If it was legal, I'd love to own slaves. It's like...
Yeah.
And you learn in high school that that's like a bad thing, but then when you get back into business school, it's like, no, that's a great thing. It's a low cost, and you got this profit margin, blah, 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 NSA. Yeah.
We all make billions.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The Waltons, all three of them, or four of them, there's four Waltons, after the big guy died, they split it between them. They're
the people who own Walmart.
Yeah. They're each on the top 10 list.
Yeah.
All four of them are on the top 10 list. They each make like somewhere around $25 to $30 billion a year. And I'm thinking to myself, so what? You guys couldn't take $1 billion off of your paycheck each?
Right.
And hand that down to your employees?
Yes. Like, and also, it's like, oh, Bill Gates...
You still have $29 million.
Yeah, Bill Gates, he's such a great... Wow, what an innovator. Yeah. And then I think about it, what a fucking sociopath. If he has $45 billion, and then some guy is like, some HR fucking vice president is like, can I have a slight raise? He's like, no. Because, you know what? I don't get $45 billion writing a bunch of checks, motherfucker. It's like, no, Bill Gates, you're a fucking sociopath. You know what I mean? I don't care if he... And then, I don't know.
Well, most of these guys have to be a sociopath. You have to be.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I have an idea that I want to get done, and I'm going to do it, but I'm going to have to do it my own way and hope that I don't fail because I'm not a piece of shit. So if I want to be successful, I have to screw human beings over? Is that what that means?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what the guys have been saying so far in marketing class.
Yeah.
Think about the bottom line. Don't worry about people. You know, it's like, no, I'm going to worry about people.
Like, they're just pumping out all these fucking trust fund MBA graduates from Harvard every year who are just, like, fucking these demons that are fucking cast upon our society who are like, no, you know, I, like, really need to make, like, $300,000 a year, like, right out of college because I can make, like, an Excel spreadsheet that can fuck everybody. You know, so it's like, yeah. I really need to, like, be put at the top of this business and then just start, like, fucking, like, taking the fucking life energy out of this place.
Yeah.
With my salary and my vacation and my fucking stock options.
Yep.
It's like, ugh. Los Angeles porn industry had a big HIV scare.
Yeah.
And so, because Cameron Bay tested positive for HIV, she's a 28-year-old actress. I don't know how much acting she's fucking doing. But they're like, oh, we solved it. So now we test every 14... Now performers get tested every 14 days instead of every 28 days. Now, the thing about this is that these actors have to pay for their own tests. So...
What?
And they're doing it without condoms. Like, you have to, like... You're, like, an independent contractor, so you have to, like, get all your vaccinations and all your tests done by yourself or whatever. Get that taken care of, and then you go thing, and you have to, like, stay current on all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's, like, if you're just spraying jizz all over each other, like, with unprotected, because that's what people want to see in the porn industry, getting tested every 14 days versus every 28 days doesn't stop AIDS.
No.
It just maybe narrows a window.
Yeah, well, and... it's been a while since there could be better technology now.
Yeah. It also takes 6 months to gestate in your
that's
body.
That's what I thought. Like, it takes a while before it shows up, so you could still be passing it when it's in your bloodstream. Like, that's my understanding.
It's a tricky issue because people don't want condoms in porn. They're not going to buy porn that has condoms in it.
A lot of people don't. I don't care. I'm perfectly fine with condoms being in porn. I don't give a shit.
See, I've gone down...
I'm not looking at dicks when I'm looking at porn, honestly. Not a lot. I mean, it's fun to pretend it's your dick.
Right.
But, like, I wear a condom when I have sex most of the time. I mean...
Yeah,
like,
but for blowjobs, you wear a condom?
No, that I definitely don't. That would be weird.
But you can't really get AIDS with a blowjob, right?
No, you can.
You can?
You can. You'd have to have a cut in your mouth.
Right.
And,
they have to have a cut
would have to mix
dick.
In there. I mean, it would...
Yeah, is it concentrated in jizz?
Yeah, it has any bodily fluid can be passed.
Yeah, but not saliva, you know.
No, not saliva.
Anyway, this is just AIDS facts. So, I don't know. I just say make AIDS porn and, you know, pay a lot of that. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
AIDS porn.
Woo! AIDS porn.
You know who will love AIDS porn?
Richie
the C. Kaboom.
AIDS porn. We're writing all that for them.
And they can take the blood from the AIDS porn people and tested compared to the virgin people.
Yeah, that's your control group, and that's and then you can give AIDS to the young girl.
And see what the effects on virgin blood are.
Yeah.
See what the effects of AIDS on virgin blood is. That actually sounds like science to me.
I also think, like, George Bush Jr. is probably, like, drinking a lot of that virgin blood just so he can, and Dick Cheney just so he can...
They should stay alive.
I just think, like,
just so they can be evil.
Dick Cheney just, like, uses, like, photosynthesis in his skin of, like, chaos energy. Like, if there's any, like a crying puppy with, like, its leg blown off walking around... Yeah, he just absorbs that and is like, I'm satiated.
That guy is so... How can... Do you ever wonder, like, he thinks he's a good guy, right?
Does I don't know.
I mean, does the guy has to get up, because most people don't think they're bad.
Yeah.
So that guy has to get up every day and be like, oh, I'm a good guy.
The White House correspondent guy, remember the one who left during the Bush administration?
Oh, yeah.
Because he found that his job was to, like, lie about Iraq, even though he knew stuff. They're like, so you're the White House press guy, you tell the people all these lies... And that, so then at the end of his term, he like wrote a book. He's like, I fucking retire. I'm gonna write a book exposing all you. And he said about Dick Cheney, he was like friends with him for a long time. And then when he started get like a couple of years, he's like, you know, I don't share the same worldview as Dick Cheney. And his voice was all trembling. It's like, what is fucking Dick Cheney's worldview? Like, what does he say to fucking people?
That it makes you so scared that...
Where he's like, I don't share Dick Cheney's worldview. He's like trembling.
His worldview is like, I own everything.
Yeah. He was like inconsolable, like the pony people. Like, what do you think of Dick Cheney's worldview?
Calm down, sir. Calm down, sir.
Yeah. It's like, what'd you have for breakfast this morning, Dick Cheney? Well, I looked through the photographs of people being blown apart by Agent Orange during Vietnam. That was my breakfast. What'd you have, Captain Crunch? Your name.
Yeah, I actually did have Captain Crunch. It's delicious.
So anyway, talking about the Pentagon, talking about the NSA, the Pentagon is going to merge its information networks in order to thwart hackers and leakers. So this is the thing. The Department of Defense leaders have decided the best way to protect sensitive information from cyber criminals, and from internal Snowden-like leaks is to consolidate 1,500 networks into a single joint information environment. So they're going to spend $23 billion on cybersecurity to make a supercomputer network. It's like, these are how the cockroaches operate. Like, one of them, like Snowden, is like, wait a minute, I printed off an email. And they're like, fuck the taxpayers, we're taking $23 billion of taxpayer money, and instead of informing those taxpayers, we're going to make a supercomputer hive that's going to, like, track these leaks, these whistleblowers, to try to put a lid on it. But it's like,
on top of that, also, if you want to keep your information safe, you put it in separate places. You don't want it all in one spot, because if someone breaks through that one spot, guess where all the information is?
Well, it's like, let's throw $23 billion at a problem and then be like, oh, the problem isn't that we're fucking vultures and that people who make money from us as they're living are like, you know, I really don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like I share the NSA's worldview, so I have to like... I have to do something about this, like, morally as a human. They're like, no, that's not the problem, that, like, we're, like, breaking the code of, like, and the morals of, like, humans. The problem is we need to throw $23 billion
to stop these guys.
You know what I mean? It's like...
To stop freedom. To stop freedom of information. We don't want information being out there.
Yeah.
No, that sounds about right.
And also with the Syria thing, they're like, oh, wait, Syria bombed another Syrian. I want some action. Okay, someone got their head blown off. Dick Cheney's masturbating in a corner. Like, oh, some guy. Oh, I love it. Okay, let's get in there. Let's send them nukes. Let's send them, like, drone strikes. Oh, we're going to do a very targeted surgical drone strike. No. Stay the fuck out of there.
Alone.
Send them some Band-Aids or whatever. Send them some bandages and some gauze or some medical equipment for the chemical attack if you're really infuriated about that. But you know what? It only escalates the problem if a bigger bully comes in and starts throwing guns around.
And if they're... And here's the other thing. If there's a threat to attack us, great. Go take care of it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, let them do their fucking own thing. Like, if Texas wanted to fight New Hampshire, nobody, Europe's not going to come in and be like, no, Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not our business if two Syrians want to beat the shit out of each other. It's like, we don't, like, let them fight. That's their business.
And just, like, America as a thought experiment, it's like, who would get angry that, like, a bunch of different people from a bunch of different countries all, like, kind of migrate to one country and all just, like, lived in harmony? Isn't that just, like...
Isn't that, like, good?
The beautiful people, like, of the human race, like, working together and, like, it's like, no one's angry at that. What they're angry at is when the government of that country, like, you know, it's just a foreign policy. All right, well... We're at the end of here. Yeah.
Awesome.
Ron fun. Swallow.
I didn't get to listen to your whole podcast. I didn't realize there would be some awesome conspiracy theories and political ranting. It was awesome.
Cool. I got some plugs for you.
Sure.
You can see Ron Swallow at the John Lovitz Comedy Club October 17th at 10 p.m.
Yes.
Or you can check out his open mic, which is every Wednesday, 8 p.m. or 8:30.
It starts at 9 p.m.
You get there.
Sign up at 7:30.
Oh,
really?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Sign up is 8. I say 8, but people get there at 7:30. So,
right.
Yeah.
At the Liquid Zoo every Wednesday.
Yeah.
My plugs are: you can see me on the Self Indulgent Podcast. Ooh. September 28th. I have a stand-up gig, Flapper's Yoohoo Room, October 1st at 9:30 p.m. and the Comedy Store Belly Room, October 26th at 10 p.m.
Nice.
And Ron Swallow, thanks for joining me.
It was fun. We're shaking hands now, guys.
Cool. All right, that's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucker bag. Click through the Amazon link on the RSS feed and buy stuff from Amazon. Bye.